Welcome back to Sports Day, and it's fantastic to have Brett Phillips on the radio. He is the tennis expert, and the French Tennis Open qualifying is underway, and we've had a couple of Aussies out on court already. We'll have a yak about them as well as the chances of the others who are going to feature in qualifying later tonight: Rodionova, Fleuris, Hon and Gadecki, along with Mendes. But Brett, welcome to Sports Day. Nice to chat, mate. And how are you thinking we are going to go in this upcoming French Tennis Open? I think we've got three girls at the moment qualified on the women's side of the draw, and we've got a fair few more blokes.
G'day, Carl. Mark, I mean, look, I suppose history says, apart from Ash winning, back in 2019, the French has never been overly kind to the Aussies. Clay, in general, has never been overly kind to the Aussies. So it is the surface where you've got to grind and you've got to play some big points. I think, in fact, Diego Schwartzman in the Italian Open last week, there was a 47-shot rally in one of his matches. So you've got to be prepared to dig in on the clay. And as we know, it's been well documented. We haven't always had the facilities here in Australia. But, yeah, look, there's a lot going around. You mentioned some of the names, string of Aussies tonight. I'm keen to have a look at Olivia Gadecki because she is one potential shining light on the women's side. And obviously right now, I mean, let's just be straight up. It's, you know, we have beyond Ash retiring, we haven't got a lot there. You know, when I say that, I mean a lot that I think are going to progress. They're sort of stuck in that, you know, 100 to 200 zone. But Olivia is the one who's got a bit of X factor. And, you know, David Taylor spent a fair bit of time with her. Sam Stosur, his former coach, when she won the US Open, and really, I think, put together a good game that can play on all surfaces. So I'd be keen to see if she can make the most of this qualifying opportunity. And yeah, you're up against some pretty hungry opponents who, for a lot of them, you know, the Spaniards, the Italians, the South Americans, this is, you know, their bread and butter playing on clay, which they handle, you know, better than the other surfaces.
Yep, Brett, I think it's fair to say Australian tennis still in mourning in that perspective with regards to Ash Barty and her exploits. But from the men's side of the draw, can you make a case for any Australian to go into at least the second week?
Well, I think, you know, our watch right now, Mark, is Alex de Minaur. So his clay court season has been, you know, pretty good. This is the best he's performed. I mean, he, you know, went to a semi-final in Barcelona, that great match against the best, you know, hottest young player on the tour right now, Carlos Alcaraz, the Spaniard. And that went 3.5 hours. I watched his match against Zverev. That was Thursday night last week. You know, pushed him to a tiebreaker in the second. But he, you know, that's still the challenge for Alex, is to beat these players above him. You know, he's, 0-4 against Jannik Sinner, the star young Italian. They're about the same age, come through as contemporaries. So I think his game has certainly improved. And certainly not to say that, you know, Alex is, you know, not good enough. I mean, right now he's, you know, the world number 21. So, and he's still only 23 years of age. So he might get this window a little bit down the track. He's still trying to build the body to serve. You know, still needs a bit of work, but he's a nightmare. He's the guy, if you're seeing the draw, you don't want to be playing Alex de Minaur because he makes you work overtime to earn a point. He is getting the ball quicker through the court. He's always taken the ball pretty early on the rise. So I'd love to see him take one of these bigger scalps. And for Alex, you know, come next week at Roland Garros, I mean, it's all going to depend on the draw. If he can, you know, get through two rounds, and maybe get, you know, winnable one in the third round. Who knows? He might be able to go on a bit of a roll. But he's the one that I suppose we're hanging our hats on at the moment.
You mentioned briefly Carlos Alcaraz, the Spanish teenage sensation, took down Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic at the Madrid Open. Is he just a clay court specialist, do you think, or is this young man going to be something quite extraordinary?
No, he's good on everything, Mark. He's he won Miami this year on the hard courts. He look, he's grown up on the clay, but no, his game is suited everywhere. And he made the quarters of the US Open last year. That was the real breakthrough at certainly Grand Slam level. It's been an incredible story. I just am absolutely gobsmacked the level of tennis that he is playing. The maturity beyond his years. I mean, he's got power. He plays the drop shot as good as anyone. He served volleys at times. A bit cheeky in the modern game. You know, he's just got this, you know, look at, just if you just look at him physically, I mean, he's built like, you know, a brick shelter shed, 10 years older. He's got this charisma about him. He loves the crowd and he embraces just being a professional tennis player. In Spain, they've got a history, obviously, of producing great tennis players. So in a lot of ways, it is Rafael Nadal take two for what he's achieving at his age. Five titles by the age of 19. Rafa had seven. And, you know, he beat Rafa for the first time. He's beaten Djokovic. So right now, I mean, probably if you're looking at the form line with Novak having won, you know, Rome last night and sort of just letting everyone know that he's back in town, it's sort of level pegging, I think, Alcaraz and Djokovic, and I suppose just the uncertainty of Nadal just with his body at the moment, whether he's absolutely cherry ripe to win a 14th French Open.
So just on Novak, he beats Stefanos Tsitsipas. Swiatek won the women's side of the draw there in Rome. When it comes to the rules and regulations at this tournament, are there any? Has the COVID rulings gone away, or were there any for the French Open? And what does it mean for the Russians? Have they been allowed to compete at the French Tennis Open or not? Do you know, BP?
Yeah, they're all fine. It's only Wimbledon, Carl, who's standing their ground, not letting the Belarusians or the Russians play, although there's a lot going on behind the scenes with the ATP and the WTA, having met in Madrid and Rome the last 2 weeks, thrashing out what potentially they're going to do. I mean, there is talk they may just not have rankings points. So, yes, Wimbledon control their major, but the ATP and the WTA still control the rankings, and they can just say, look, we're not going to apply rankings to that tournament, and effectively it becomes an exhibition. That would be a drastic step. So all that is playing out behind the scenes. But as far as the French goes and everything else, it's only the grass court season, and that's the lead-ups to Wimbledon. So we're talking Eastbourne and Birmingham. There's a few other events. Queens, of course, the traditional lead-up where the Belarusians and the Russians won't be able to play unless there's a drastic shift. But I can't see Wimbledon backing down now.
Just quickly, Sam Stosur had retired, and now I see in Strasbourg she's unretired. Can you just tell us what's happened there, BP?
Well, yeah, I mean, she played in singles last night, got wiped pretty quickly. I mean, she has won that tournament, so I can only think that they've given her a sort of a special wild card into that event to just have a hit, basically, because, yeah, certainly from what I understood, and Sam, you know, called the women's final with us, she was just going to play doubles this year, and then she was going to bow out at the end of the year, and this is her first week back since the Aussie Open, having spent some family time in Melbourne. So yeah, I didn't expect her to pop up in singles last night. I don't think it'll be a regular occurrence. I mean, her ranking has slipped, you know, significantly now. But I think because she'd won that event, they've probably given her a special entry, and she's thought, oh well, I might as well get a match under my belt just to blow some of the cobwebs out.
Might get a little bit of cash too, you know, that never goes astray. Exactly. Thank you very much for your time, mate. Really appreciate it. And we'll hopefully have a chat to you a little bit more in the next couple of weeks, if you don't mind.
Easy done. Always good to talk, gents. Thank you.
Good on you, Brett Phillips, who is the tennis expert. It's great to have him here on Sports Day. Thanks to Repco, from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks. For 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion, Ski.
Yeah, let me just quickly say, he's saying she needs a bit of extra money. Can I tell you her career prize money? $19,927,553. So we tend to forget that even though Sam hasn't been pushing for titles for a long time, she is still a very, very wealthy woman.
Yeah, you'd hope so. And, you know, there'd be some endorsements and other things outside of that career prize money that she's been able to collect too. So, as I said, at the end of the day, you keep on doing it for as long as you can, because you are a long time retired and she's still only a young woman. So good on her for getting out there and enjoying something that she absolutely loves. As we clear a commitment and come back, and we'll get into our Kia Top 7 and our news headlines next here on Sports Day.